with me, John chapter 12. I'm going to share the title of my message this morning is Seeking Christ. And I'll read a few verses and share some thoughts with you. Jim's going to sing for us in just a moment. You know, where Jim's from, he's in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And he was telling me that there was two little boys in their church that they were brothers and they were kind of difficult to deal with. Y'all ever run across little brothers like that? We got a couple called Levi and Micah. And these two little boys were creating a few problems. And so after church one Sunday morning, the preacher saw the little boys come in, and the Sunday school teacher looked like she was about ready to pull her hair out. And he said, "Everything going okay?" And she said, "Pastor, I about had all I can stand of those two." And he said, "Well, they just need Jesus." And she said, "Well, I sure wish they'd hurry up and find him." So the pastor thought that he would do his thing. So he pulled the little boys aside and he said, "You know, I need to talk with you guys, but I want to talk to you one at a time." And he took the older boy in and he said, "Do you know where Jesus is?" And the little boy looked at him and said, "No, sir." He said, "Do you know where Jesus is?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Do you know where Jesus is?" And the little boy said, "No, sir." He said, "Send your brother in." And so the little boy went out, and his younger brother said, "What do you say?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "But I think he lost Jesus." And so I want to talk to you today about seeking Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Before I share some scriptures with you, let's enjoy Brother Burns once again.
Someday I shall stand in God's city and receive treasures I've won. Oh, but how can I ever accept them until I thank Him for what He has done? When I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to the crucified one on that beautiful shore. I must kneel once more, and there I'll thank Him for what He has done. And before I can shout hallelujah, yes, and before I can sing that brand new song, I must kneel at the feet of my precious Jesus. There I'm gonna thank Him for what He has done. When I thank Him for what He has done, oh, I must look back to the crucified one on that beautiful shore. I must kneel once more, and there I'll thank Him for what He has done. For God is so good. God, He's been so good. God is so good. He's been so good to me. He saved my soul. Yes, I know he saved my soul. He saved my soul. He's been so good to me. And I must thank him for what he has done.
Amen. If you've never done another thing for me, I've got enough to praise him throughout eternity. He saved this old wretched soul of mine. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. It's going to be a joy when the trumpet sounds and all the saints of God rise to meet him in the air. But not only that, we're going to be together with each other forever. May never see you again down here. But if you're saved, we'll meet you on that other side. Amen. I want to dedicate this song this morning to your pastor and his wife. My son sings this song, and I never get to sing it because he won't let me. So he's not here this morning, Brother Steve, and I'm going to sing it. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Lately, I've been looking back. I'm in the wrong key. Lately, I've been looking back along this winding road to an old familiar marker of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see, I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fear. I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, the Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he's been. But the best way that I can tell you is to say that God's been good. Yes, he has. In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade them if I could. Go through it all, my God's been good. Yes, he has. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
My. I wanted the young folks to hear Brother Burns. Maybe one of you young folks will step in and take his place one day. Bible's open to John chapter 12. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says on the next day. All of us got next days. Do you know that? All of us got next days. You go back just a little ways, you find out that there was a day when there was great discouragement, great depression that had gripped a family that Jesus loved. They had a brother that was sick. Mary and Martha had Lazarus who was sick. They sent word to Jesus to come because Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. The Bible says Jesus tarried. I wonder what Mary and Martha thought. I wonder when they sent word out to Jesus that Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. They knew that Jesus would make haste and come. And they probably went, they may have held Lazarus' hand and said, Jesus is going to come next day. He'll be here, Lazarus. But as you know the story, Jesus did not. Jesus did not come until Lazarus was dead. They thought that everything is taken care of and there's no more hope. Do you know that they did not have the embalming process as we do? And in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that Mary and the other Marys had gone to the grave the third day. They'd gone the third day to anoint his body. That would be the last time that they would enter into that presence of that body. And to put more perfumes and more myrrh and aloe on his body because of the decay. Mary and Martha had gone into that tomb of Lazarus, no doubt, on the third day. Gone in there and anointed his body on the third day. No doubt they came out and they sealed the tomb and they said it's finished. But they didn't know the next day that Jesus was going to come. And Jesus called Lazarus forth out of the grave. Man, what that must have been like. Do you imagine what the next day would have been? They stood back in awe and amazement and said, wow, look at what Jesus has done. There came a day when there were people began to come out to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. We read that in chapter 12 and verse number 1. Mary is there, and Mary breaks this alabaster box and anoints the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's discussions that takes place. And the Bible says the next day. Now there's people who have come out to see Lazarus. They came out to see Jesus, but they really came out to see Lazarus, whom a great miracle had been performed. And the next day, the Bible says that people were come to the feast where they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now this feast is one of the most holiest days, one of them, the most holiest times of the children of Israel as they're getting ready for the Passover. And there, all the preparations are being made. Look at verse number 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, speaking of Jesus, and came not only for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus. Much people were there. They had come out. In verse number 12, on the next day, much people were come to the feast. Have you ever thought about why people come to church? I wished I could say that people come to church because they're seeking Christ. But I'm afraid that there's people that come today just for the same reasons they came 2,000 years ago to Jerusalem. Much people. Some of these people believed. Some of us here today are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what it's like to stand with Brother Jim and say, God's been good. We understand that. It's a part of our lives. We can stand and we can sing with the choir, I'm happy in Jesus alone. There's not anything else that means anything more to me than Jesus Christ. And we can stand and say that. There were those that gathered around in that feast day and they believed. They believed Jesus. There were those who came to observe the feast. And they came and this was a ritual that they went through. And they came to prepare themselves and they came to Jerusalem to worship God. They came to observe that feast. But there were also some that came to follow a crowd. And you know, a lot of times whenever there's a crowd gathering, people want to see what's going on. Jim, I tell the story sometimes that I was in Greenville, South Carolina. I'd only been saved for a few months. And we were up on the street and we were street preaching. And Brother Bill told me, he said, Brother Steve, why don't you give them your testimony? And I still had long hair at that time. And I got up there and I gave my testimony. Well, there was a guy across the street who got happy in Jesus. Well, he wasn't really happy in Jesus. He was happy in something else. But he was intoxicated, and he was hanging on to the light post on the other side of the street, and he'd say, that's right, preacher, you tell him. And he was, boy, he was letting us have it. And he came across the street and wanted to help me, see. And he was getting in my face helping me. And he was, amen, that's right, hallelujah. And people thought that there was something going to happen. And here he is yelling, and I'm trying to speak over him. I'm yelling. And people began to gather. Folks come out of the stores and say, oh, what's going on over there? And they all came over. And there must have been several hundred that were around this guy and I. And I didn't know what to do. And I just stopped what I was saying. And Brother Bill was standing back there, and he said, don't stop now, you got a crowd. Sometimes the crowd just comes out because of the crowd. They want to see what's happening. So in this day, there was much people that had gathered together. Look at verse number 13. These people that had gathered together, the Bible says they took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat thereon, as is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. Now, I believe that these people that came out and met Jesus, and they began to tear the palm branches off, and Matthew tells us they began to take their garments off and stroll them in the way. They were rolling out the red carpet. Why? Because here is a prophecy that's being fulfilled in Jesus Christ that the Messiah is coming and he's riding on a coat's ass. And they're saying, oh, this is wonderful. Hosanna! Blessed be the name of the one that cometh. They're rejoicing, but not all of them believed. Not all of them. There were some there to observe some special occasion, but they didn't believe in Jesus. They were there to worship God, but they didn't believe in Jesus. And I think that there was probably some that came out, just participated because that's what everybody else was doing. I think that we face that in our lives today right here. I wished I could say that every one of those that came out and tore those palm branches down, that they were accepting Jesus Christ. I do believe that they were seeking Christ. I do believe that. See, Christ in the New Testament is the Old Testament Messiah. And so the Jews were seeking for Messiah, the promised one to come, the Christ. And so there were people looking for him to come. Different reasons. Boy, they were tired of the Roman oppression. They was looking for the Christ to come and deliver them out from under the hand of the Romans. A lot of different reasons why they came. And I think it would be a good thing if we just kind of seek Jesus. Do you know that the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for a joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father. It says, for consider him which endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. There are times in our lives when we need to be seeking after Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you that there's a lot that goes on around us today? Have y'all seen the commercials that they've got the DNA of Jesus? They got it off the Shroud of Turin. Have y'all not seen that? Y'all don't know that? They've done the analysis on the Shroud of Turin, and they say that it dates back to about 1100. That's 1,000 years after Jesus Christ. I don't know how his DNA could be there, but anyway, and they've done this DNA test now, and it's going to be on television, I think, in the near future. Maybe it's already been on TV. The DNA of Christ, the Shroud of Turin. Boy, that was a big thing when that thing was discovered a few years ago. Evidence of Christ has been found on television. We're going to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Is Jesus real? They ask these questions. They put out these documentaries. Who is the real Jesus, they ask. People today are seeking Christ. Are they seeking him for who he is? Probably not. Probably not. But there's people who are seeking after Christ. Do you know that the government's looking for Jesus? That's right. Donald Trump was elected in November, and it has nothing to do with this. The Bible says, Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this, speaking of Jesus, of whom I hear such things, and he desired to see him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 8, this is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least in his trial, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but Jesus, he answered him nothing. These men who came out and questioning Jesus, why? Do you know that Herod, I'm not talking about, this is not Herod the Great that killed the babies at Jesus' birth. This is his son. Do you know that he put together a councilman, and those councilmen went out seeking for Christ? They wanted to find out who he is. And these men, they're known as Herodians. And these men actually followed after Jesus and keeping track of miracles that he had done and everything. These councilmen were there because of Herod, the governor. He wanted to know about Jesus. And he said, bring me some word. Do you know that the city of Gadara, that they came out looking for Jesus? That city, and it's found in Luke chapter number 8. You remember the maniac of Gadara and how that Jesus healed that maniac, cast those legions out. And the Bible says, and when they that fed them saw what was done, what did they see? They came out and saw this man clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says that they fled and went and told it into the city and the country, and they went out to see what was done. What? The whole city came out seeking for Jesus. Why? They just wanted to see what he had done. They weren't really seeking for him for who he was. Those councilmen were seeking. That city was seeking. There's a community that came out. And right here in our text in John chapter 12, these people that knew Lazarus and knew that he was dead and knew that he was resurrected, they came out to see Jesus. And Lazarus. They weren't seeking him for who he was. They were kind of like Herod. They were seeking, maybe he'll do some special miracle and I can see it. Something supernatural. There are different groups, different individuals that came out seeking Jesus. Probably the most familiar to all of us is Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. These young folks, they know of the story of Zacchaeus. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Why? To see him. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, I don't know why Zacchaeus ran and climbed up into that tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if Zacchaeus had a repentant heart and was sorry for the things that he had done and said, I'm going to make some things right with God. I don't know if that's what he was doing or if he was looking for Jesus because of what the world, what the people were saying that Jesus was. And he said, I want to see something. And Jesus stopped and looked up into that tree and said, salvation's come to your house, Zacchaeus. Let's get down. And boy, I tell you what, it changed his life, did it not? You remember that woman that had the issue of blood? And the Bible says there in Mark chapter 5 that her words were, if I could but touch his clothes, she said, I'd be healed. She sought to see Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was problems going on within her. And she said, if I can just get to Jesus, Jesus can take care of my problems. Government sought for him. Different groups sought for him. People came. And on that day, and the Bible says in verse number 20 of John chapter 12, and there were certain Greeks among them. Jesus has come into the city, and the folks are shouting and praising God. They're casting their garments. They're tearing down the palm branches. They're doing wonderful things. The festival is about to begin. I imagine that some of those booths that were found around the Temple Mount that had been erected for the festivals that were about to take place at Passover time, I imagine some of those booths probably even got torn down so that they could cast palm branches down in there around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that at that time that there were some Greeks that came. Now, it's interesting to me. Notice what it says about these Greeks. The Bible says that these Greeks came to worship at the feast. These men knew something about God. They knew something about the Jewish tradition. They knew something about the Passover. They knew something about the feast that was about to take place beginning at Passover. And these men came to Jerusalem. Now, there was a lot of people that came to Jerusalem for this time. And so there was a great number of people that were there. And these men came. When people come, thank God for those that come to worship. Thank God for that. And I want to say to Tabernacle Baptist Church family, thank God for you, thank God for you, thank God for you. But if the only reason you come so you can sing in the choir, you're here for the wrong reason. The only reason you come so you can drive a bus, you're here for the wrong reason. You're here because so I can teach Sunday school, you're here for the wrong reason. I'm here so I can sing in specials. You're wrong reason. The orchestra, wrong reason. If you're here for some service, you're here for the wrong reason. And they were people who came to the Temple Mount not to worship, but to work. Now think about it. They came to work. What did Jesus do when he entered into that city, riding on that ass? And came upon that Temple Mount. Did he not go into that temple and overturn those tables once again? And he said, my house ought to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You all came out to work. And we ought to come out to worship God. I'm thankful that Brother Burns is here. Man, I've enjoyed this week. It's just been good. It's been good. And I love the songs that we've sung. And you come back tonight. We're going to sing a little bit more tonight. And next Sunday, we'll sing that Easter medley. You need to come hear that. Boy, that's just wonderful. But there's a lot of people that just come to watch. Hey. Did you know Brother Jim Burns is going to be at Tabernacle today? Let's go over and let's watch him. He looks just like Brother Steve. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for any and all of our guests that we bring in. And I know that sometimes there's some things that done and people come to see and hear and to be blessed by certain people. And I'm thankful for that. I do that myself. But my friend, if the only reason that we're coming is so that we can watch something that's taking place, you've missed the purpose of our services. If you come just so you can work someplace and you can get your back padded and you can be told how a good person that you are, you've missed it, folks. You've missed it. What we come for is we come to worship God. And I think that maybe sometimes that we need to seek Jesus and we need to seek Him so He'll come in. Help us with our worship service, Lord. Help us to get rid of all the work. I'm not talking about stop serving God. Thank God for you that serve. But we serve Him because we love Him. We serve Him because we love people. We serve Him because we're trying to fulfill His will in our life, not for our own selves. We're not coming just to watch. Lord, come in and turn the tables over in my heart so that I might come for the true purpose, and that is to just worship You. The outside world is standing and they're looking. These Greeks, these were foreigners, but they had some knowledge, and they came. And I'm just here to tell you that Jesus goes in and He begins to explain to His disciples, to these others that were around, even to these Greeks, and He shares a parable with them. And His parable that He shares with them is about a grain of corn that falls upon the ground. You know, Brother Westberg did something in Sunday school this morning, and he left these jewels here that he found in Sierra Leone. And we found these jewels. Not really. I'm lying. I'm not joking, I'm lying. But if we were to take a jewel, let's take a diamond. We came back from Sierra Leone, and there was a pastor over there found a diamond that was over 7 carats in size. Probably is going to be worth millions of dollars. Can I tell you what value that diamond has? It has the same value today as it'll have in years to come. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. It's going to be worth more than inflation. Yeah? You know, when I bought my wife's diamond, no, I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for it. But when you look at it, and I bought her diamond 46 years ago, you look at it and you figure in the cost of inflation and everything, they sell for about the same thing today than what they did 46 years ago. Just think about it. And Jesus said, there's a grain of corn. Let's take a grain of corn and set it aside and set a diamond aside. And you know what they're worth? About the same thing that they were when you got them. But Jesus said, if you take that grain of corn and you put it in the ground, that grain of corn that dies, that grain of corn is going to bring forth a stalk. And on that stalk, there's going to be ears of corn. And on those ears of corn, there's kernels. And you take those kernels and you plant them. And the next year, you don't have a stalk. You have a garden full. And the next year, you take them and you plant them. And you don't have a garden full. You got acres upon acres of cornfield. You're able to feed your community with it. And if you continue to take that kernel, those kernels of corn, and you continue to plant those kernels of corn, after 10 years, you've got volume upon volume of income from that. I'd rather hold on to this little diamond. And Jesus says that the most important thing for us to understand is it is a kernel of corn that's going to be placed into the ground, and that kernel of corn is going to bring forth something that's far greater than anything that you can imagine. He's speaking of himself. He's speaking of how that he is going to come and how that he is going to die, how that he is going to suffer, how that he is going to give himself upon the cross of Calvary, and how that there's going to be that harvest that's going to come because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so I submit to you this morning that the general public ought to seek Jesus. Not because there's a big crowd going down there. Not so that they can profit by it. But we ought to seek him for who he is. Who he really is. He came into this world that we might be able to have life. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 19, but we see Jesus, notice what he says, who was made a little lower than the angels. The purpose for the suffering of death. So that you and I might have life. This Palm Sunday, this Easter season that we have, I implore you not to come for some ritual. Don't come because it's a religious holiday. But I want you to come and worship the real Jesus. The one who loved you and the one who gave himself for you. The one who's promised you a home in heaven. Do you have that assurance? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Have you just been coming so that you could go do something? Have you come just because that's what everybody else is doing? My children had drug problems when they were younger. Their mama and daddy drug them to church. And I'm afraid that there's some young people that need Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life. They come to church, but they don't understand what the reasons. It's just something I've always done. And they need to come to a point in their heart and in their life where they make a decision. What am I seeking Jesus for? What am I seeking him for? Bow with me for a word of prayer. It's important that Jesus Christ be seen. But Jesus Christ is not seen with a physical eye today as he was in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is seen only with a physical eye today through the Word of God. That's the written Word. He is the living Word. And through the lives of those who know him and claim him as their Savior. So, Christian, I want to ask you, is people seeing Jesus in your life? If not, there needs to be some dying that's going to take place this week in your life that Jesus Christ might be able to live. If you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I don't really know for sure. But I'm concerned enough to ask you to pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking about but myself, just so I can intelligently pray with you. You say, Pastor, I'm unsure. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you lift your hand up just long enough for me to see it? And God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. Now listen. Jesus, in that context, talking about that grain of corn, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself.